I am the sacrifice. I have more than a song. Today I brought myself. I am your worship. I have more than a song. Today I brought myself. I am the sacrifice. I have more than a song. Today I brought myself. I am your worship. Receive this living sacrifice. I am your worship. Lord, I accept this living sacrifice. I am your worship. Receive this living sacrifice. I am your worship.
sacrifice. I am your worship. I am your sacrifice. I am your worship. I am your sacrifice. I am your worship. And I am your sacrifice. I am your worship.
I am your worship.
Leave me at the altar with
my Father. Leave me at the altar with my Father. Leave me at the altar with my Father. Leave me at the altar with my Father. Say, leave me at the altar.
Leave me at the altar with my Father.
And I will dwell in His presence.
Leave me at the altar with my Father.
I was glad when I said, let us go.
With my
altar.
This living sacrifice is I am your worship. Take me, Lord, and use me. Accept this living sacrifice as I am your worship. Accept this living sacrifice. I am.
Heavenly Father, Alpha and Omega, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the ever true God, forever your word is settled. There is none to compare with you, O Lord. You who loved us with an everlasting love and gave your best for us. How is it so hard for us to lay ourselves also at your altar? This morning we bow our hearts before you. We ask, O King of glory, be thou exalted. Be thou glorified. For you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our God.
You are worthy to be praised.
You are Alpha.
Alpha.
what can we render to you, O Lord? We have eaten our rice. We have eaten our chicken. We have taken our drinks. We have worn our clothes. We have visited our friends. We have rejoiced and sang because we have come into a new year. But all those are nothing apart from you. And this very hour, O Lord, we come bare as we are, just as simple as we are. We have not changed. It's the same personality that has crossed one hour to another. But Lord, do something new in our hearts this morning. Reach out to us as your children, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, give us attentive ears. Give us understanding hearts. And let your good will concerning us be accomplished. Truly, we return all the glory back to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to appreciate God for the privilege of being called a child of God. Not many people can claim to be children of God. But the Word of God tells me that as many as receive Christ, even to those who believe in his name, to them he had given the power to become the sons and daughters of God. Now, as simple as that word may seem, many times things in our lives contend with the simplicity of that word. And this morning, I know it is called a miracle service, and you may have come with diverse kinds of expectations, but the best thing that can ever happen to you is to know who you are in Christ Jesus and what the Word of God has said concerning you. The day you know that one, you are a bundle of miracle anywhere you go. A bundle of miracle anywhere you go. But how a lot of people perish and suffer needlessly because they don't understand who their God is and what their God has said concerning them. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 45. We'll read from verse 21 to verse 25. And God is saying to us, as we have entered into this new year, you have my word. You have my word. You have my word. Isaiah chapter 45. We'll read from verse 21 to 25. Please, you will do well to open your own Bible to that passage so that God will speak to you as an individual, as a person, because we all have equal rights before God only if we access that right. Isaiah chapter 45. I read now from verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who had declared this from ancient times? Who had told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel, all the seed of the Glory Tabernacle ministry, all the seeds of Jesus Christ be justified. And shall glory. Amen. Amen. It
not often that God begins to reel out his own credentials, like reading out his own CV to us. God does that when sometimes we become hard of hearing. God does that when he wants to draw close attention. He wants to make us to turn away from our distractions and focus on him who is the Alpha and Omega. That's why we sang that song, God is the Alpha and Omega. He is at the beginning, he is also at the end. Because he has no beginning and he has no end. We are the ones who work with time. God's time is limitless. As it could take 100 years to answer Abraham, it could take a twinkling of an eye to answer Peter and fill his net with fish. That's just God. And the earlier we get to accept the sovereignty of God and the fact that we cannot do anything against him, the better for us. We can only work for him. Even in our cantankerous nature, we are still working for him. Isn't that very, very funny? The most stubborn person who says he doesn't regard God in his heart, God still uses him to do God's own will. So why even try? Just align yourself with the word of God. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1, we are talking about Alpha. In the beginning, God made the heavens. God created the heaven and the earth. He was the one who created them. He formed them. He fashioned them. He did everything. And verse 2 says, as at that time when he formed the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. But then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, God spoke. Many times at the beginning, there's a lot of uncertainty. You get married. You are wondering, oh, how is life going to be? Oh, will I be able to raise a good home? Will I have children? Will I build house? Will I do... All kinds of uncertainties are there. You gain admission into a higher institution or even into primary school. Wonderful. But the moment you get there, you begin to say, hey, I hope I can pass. I hope I can finish. I hope, even when I finish, I hope I can do some work with it. Always at the beginning, there's some element of confusion. There's some element of doubt. The only thing that brings order at the beginning of anything is the Spirit of God himself. Apart from the Spirit of God, nothing else can put things in order. As the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of that confusion and over that void, things began to take shape. Light came. God said, let there be light. Light came. And then he separated the light from the darkness. Things begin to take order. Things begin to take shape. That's why don't do anything without God leading you, without allowing God to guide you as you are going. It gives you this kind of assurance of the end already from the beginning. No other person can do that. No other person can do that. And God was declaring to the prophet Isaiah, saying, look, come now, let's think together, let's reason together. Who has told of these things ahead of time, before this time? Come and show me the person who tells you the end from the beginning. Let that person come. Let us put our credentials together. Who says a thing and it comes to pass when the Lord has not said so? Do we have men of authority? Yes. Do we have people in power? Yes. Do they decree some things? Yes, they pass decrees. They number their decrees and they use all manner of force to try to establish it. But any decree that is not of the Lord will always fizzle out
and die in the end. It's like the force of gravity. Okay, let's not talk science. Let's talk the word of God. But it's also the word of God. So maybe it will help. Listen. You may be a very strong man. I mean, really strong man with plenty of muscles. You can lift 2 bags of cement at once. Is that a strong man? A man who can lift 2 bags of cement at once. Is he a strong man? Aha. Is he stronger than the person who is not able to carry 5 liters of petrol? Hello? Is he stronger than the person who is not able to carry 5 liters of petrol? Petrol is lighter than water. And somebody there is not able to carry 5 liters of petrol. Now, if that man, please listen, if that man who is able to lift 2 bags of cement at once is given 5 liters of petrol, would that be any big assignment for him? But wait a moment. Let him carry the 5 liters of petrol. Just tell him to hold it like this. 1 minute. 2 minutes. 5 minutes. 1 hour. 2 hours. By the time he's even getting to 15 minutes, the 5 liters of petrol will weigh more than 2 bags of cement. Because he does not have the power in himself to sustain that strength. There is a law of nature that is pulling that thing down, that says, if you want this thing to be at rest, better put it on the ground. But if you say you are a strong man, and you want to keep holding that thing up, the time will come when your strength will fail you. That's why even the young lions can lack. The mighty warriors can fall in battle. Blessed is that man whose health is in the Lord. Because his strength is made perfect in your weakness. God's strength is actually made perfect the day we realize that we are nothing apart from God. That's when our strength begins. So where is our boasting? Where is our rejoicing? The psalmist said, I will make my boast in the Lord. I will make my boast in the Lord. His strength, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Paul puts it this way. The things which I counted to be gain, I count now as loss. What? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The scripture goes further to say, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. In that passage which we read from Isaiah chapter 45, you know, the conclusion of the whole matter was that there will be glory. In verse 25, he says, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Any other glorying is vain. Any other glorying is vain. God said to me, to say to us, I've given you my word. So you have my word. You have my word. But what you do with that word will make a big difference this year. There's going to be such great multiplication of the grace of God in our midst this year. For as many as we lay hold on the word of God. And I pray that the eyes of your understanding will lay hold on this moment
so that you will be satisfied early with the mercies of God. You will not wait until the last moment to be collecting the crumbs. Very early, may the Lord satisfy you. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, from verse 18 to 23, you can also cross-reference that to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. It is the parable of the sower. But when Jesus finished giving that parable in Matthew chapter 13, in the earlier verses of Matthew chapter 13, he specifically went and explained it a bit in detail from verse 18 to verse 23. So I chose that we'll rather read that portion. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. I see a grievous thing in our present generation. A lot of people laying, even people who have not read the Bible for a long time, they lay claim on a lot of promises from the Bible. Because we have so copied out all the promises of the Bible, they are now in our lips. Oh, I shall not die. I shall live to declare the glory of God. 1,000 will fall by my left, 10,000 by my right. The promises are so liberal, they are so free. Every one of us can quote them liberally. So that the word of God is now cheap by the wayside. It's cheap by the wayside. Anybody can just speak it. But does it really profit everybody? You yourself know that it's not everybody that it profits. And Jesus clearly stated why. It will not profit such type of people who are just speaking the word at random, just taking it anyhow, because they are hearing it all over the place. See, they are the type of people who receive the word by the wayside. They have not taken time to meditate on the word of God. They have not tried to understand the import of what God is saying. They are not there to be taught the word of God. They will not go for Bible study. They are just looking for the scripture that seems to address their present moment. And they think that when they just quote it like that, then God will just arise and answer. Sorry. Many times, you'll be disappointed. And it will look as if the word of God is not efficacious. That's not true. And God is saying to us, I've given you my word. But do you really hold on to my word? Verse 20. Matthew chapter 13. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. With gladness. This is just what I want to hear now. Oh, this is what I want to hear now. This is what I want to hear now. You know, it's important what you hear. That's true. It can be a temporary palliative. The medical people, when they say something is a palliative, it gives you some measure of succor, but it doesn't really solve the problem. I hear many people now asking, please give us palliative, Don't ask for palliative. Ask for the real meat. Because when you eat the real meat, you won't hunger again. Our pastor told us that one as we were partaking of the communion. They receive it with joy. Oh, how was the sermon? Wonderful. Glorious. In fact, that's just what God just spoke to me. Wonderful. That's good. They receive it with joy. 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but joyed for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, And by and by, he is offended. By and by, he is offended. Ah, no, this thing is too hard. Why these rules are too difficult? God can still do it now. He can bypass my failures. He can bypass. He can. After all, I'm not the only sinner in the world. If God really wants to bless me, let Him just bless me, shall? You know, God doesn't work like that. God just doesn't work like that. Otherwise, He will be rewarding iniquity. You receive the word, you believe the word is true, but do you live by the word? Do you live by the word? Does the word change your attitude? Does it change your perception? Does it change the way you do things? We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. But hear thou, O man, like our apostle James was telling us, you believe God? Or was it Peter that was telling us? You know, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It's not the hearers of the word that are blessed, but the doers of the word. And that's where the challenge really is. God, accept me just as I am. I mean, what is it? You know now, I'm but human. I am weak. And God knows you are weak. And that's why He's asking you to depend on Him. To trust Him. To hold on to His word. That word that never fails. But do you know the contention of holding on to the word of God has been from the foundation of the earth? God gave the word to our fathers, our father Adam. This is what I want you to do. I have good thoughts towards you. I've planted the garden for you. You tend the garden. Just leave this one aside. Don't touch this one. Because the day you touch this one, you are going to die. The word. The day hear, they heard. Did they believe? They believed. But did they act according to that word? No. Why did they not act according to that word? They listened to an alternative voice. And in this era that we are now, there are many alternative voices. But the word of God is the same. God cannot lie. His word will surely come to pass. God cannot lie. Word will surely come to pass. My God cannot lie. His word will surely come to pass. My God cannot lie. His word will surely come to pass. Does that song make some meaning to you? If it makes meaning to you, then when God has spoken a word, it doesn't matter who else is speaking. It just doesn't matter. And I tell you, there can be many other voices, as we will see when we take examples of some of our patriarchs and some errors that they made and how some of them were able to recover themselves and some were not able to recover themselves. But God didn't change. The word of God still stood. And God is saying to us, you have my word. You have my word. You don't need to run helter-skelter. I've already given you my word. I've given you my word. Verse 22. I just plead that we will not be offended with God. You know, some of us are offended by God. Say, God, if I were you, I would have done it like this. I don't know what you are waiting for. You want to give God counsel. You want to teach God how to be God. Blessed is that person who is not offended by God. Verse 22. He also that received the seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He becometh unfruitful. In other words, the word of God is supposed to bear some fruit in our lives. The passage we read in Isaiah chapter 45 said, God's word will not return to him void. When God has said a thing, it's supposed to accomplish something in our lives. If we hold on to it and tarry against all the contentions and refuse to believe the lies, it's supposed to bring forth some fruit. But sometimes when the pressure gets so strong and the argument becomes very convincing, this fruit is beautiful to behold. It's able to make a man wise. You know, scientific arguments begin to come. You know, Paul was writing to Timothy. I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The last two or three verses there. I'll read that. You know, sometimes our wisdom turns to foolishness. Our overreading. See, of the making of many books, there's no end. But, you know, if you allow the books to deceive you contrary to the word of God, I'm sorry, you will miss it in the very end. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I read. Verses 20 and 21. O Timothy, you can put your own name there. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. When you now use philosophical arguments to begin to contend with the word of God, and you are using the law of gravity, and you are using the law of thermodynamics to try to explain God, you will get to a point where the equation does not add up anymore. The just shall live by faith. And what is that faith on? On the word of God. The revealed word of God, the spoken word of God, is the greatest miracle that can ever happen to any man. God speaks to you. Oh, you believe it? Wonderful. You act on it? Glorious. You see the fruit of it? Fantastic. You come back and testify about it? The job is complete. That's the way God designed it. So we say, don't tell anybody, so that the miracle will not, the miracle that God did. Where is that demon? Where is that witch? Where is that wizard who can turn back what God has done? That one has never been created and will not be created. Whatever the Lord does is what? Permanent. You can't add to it. You can't remove it. That's the word of God, for God's sake. But our culture sometimes contradicts the word of God. And some of us deviate more, lean more towards our culture than the word of God. And then we run into crisis. You say, hey, you small boy, don't talk like that. Even your father could not talk like that. My father didn't know what I know. If he knew what I knew, many more yokes would have been broken earlier. The Lord will have satisfied us early. Now that I know, I cannot afford to be intimidated by the culture and by the history. Whether it is Hausa, whether it's Igbo, whether it's Yoruba, in Igbo land we call it Omenala. The way the land does it. But we are heavenly citizens, for God's sake. We are heavenly citizens. And our economy, our sociology, our economy, just name it, our education, everything is governed by the heavenly principles. Going back to Matthew chapter 13. He that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The word is not able to accomplish the very thing that it was meant to accomplish. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Emphasis mine. Which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. You know, there is a bringing forth of the word of God. When God blesses you and you begin to use blanket to cover it, the blessing will be choked in that place. The blessing will be choked in that place. Because the point at which it is supposed to now bring glory to God, you deny God of the glory. Be careful. Be careful. So you see some people who are blessed to a certain extent, things seem to be going well, and then suddenly they begin to withdraw to the background. You know, they don't... some things become too many for them to do. They become gods in themselves. And if God loves you, if God loves you, he can withdraw that blessing in order to preserve your soul. But if you are so adamant, plus the blessing plus everything, food for the belly for food, they all perish. You have my word. You have my word. But what are you going to do with that word? Will it bring forth fruit? Will it bring forth fruit? Will you hold on to that word till you see the physical manifestation of that word and be able to stand and say, see what the Lord has done? Come and see that the Lord is good. He said this to me, he established it, and I declare that he is the only God, and he has brought his word to come to pass. God is well pleased with such things. No matter what has happened in between, any person who does that is breaking chains and bars of iron, cutting the gates asunder. Because Apostle John tells us that this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith in Christ Jesus. Our faith in Christ Jesus. Let no one give you an alternative. I tell you, when your faith is put to the test, there's no scarcity of suggestions. There's no scarcity of suggestions. I can tell you that from even my little personal experience. No scarcity of suggestions. And the suggestions are given supposedly, you know, with goodwill. But they are contrary to the word of God. Hold on to the word of God. It will bring forth fruit. And after it has brought forth fruit, it will come in multiples. Say some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You can choose where, even when you obey, you can choose the limit to which your blessings will be. We are the ones who cut off the bar. If you go to primary school and you come out with distinction, and you rejoice and you stop there, no matter what you do, you will end up being the messenger or the sweeper in the office. Abi, even with your distinction. Hello? 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 Okay. Maybe the atmosphere is too serious. I know the Bible says the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Yesterday I was listening to a testimony from my father-in-law. You know, my father-in-law is a very simple man. When I say simple, very, very simple man.
many, many years ago. He went to school and he finished Standard 6. Now, people who finish Standard 6, at the time he finished Standard 6, many of them didn't need to do any other education. Many of them ended up being big directors and things like that, because that was a very high level of education at that time. So that was sweet. That was. But somehow, he couldn't find a job. Every attempt he was making to get a job just wasn't working. You know? And one day, somebody said, "We can find something for you in Ibadan. But first, come to Warri." From Edo State, he traveled to Warri, stayed briefly with the person. Not a relative. And you know, when you are a stranger in a place, you are a stranger. They handled them. They didn't even care whether he was qualified or not. Let it not be that the blessing that God has blessed you becomes irrelevant to your good, your well-being in life. And that's how that man labored and labored and labored. Every time, doors will be closing here, doors will be closing there. It's good to understand the heritage from where you are coming, because if you don't understand, you may be laboring heavily under some yokes. But God had good plans for this man, because he was a man who feared God. Or he is a man who feared God. He's still alive. Let me not use words for him. And in spite of every effort to put him down, one thing he guaranteed was that his family would always be in church, no matter what. Sometimes duty will not even permit him to go to work, go to church. But he made sure that his wife, children, they were not missing there. And as often as he had opportunity, he was there. And gradually. So yesterday, he was telling me, "Look, I worked for a man who is an international staff, who had two children, whom I was making sandwiches for, sausage rolls and other things for. They could wake me up 12 in the midnight to come and work for them. Today, none of the children of that man even stepped into the four walls of a university. And at the risk of trying to play down on them, they were not people who regarded God in their heart. And nothing to show for the heritage. One day, by the time his boss was retiring, the boss called him and said, Mr. Thomas, you are better than myself. See, your children are going to school. They are making progress. Look at my children. Nothing to show." So, hold on to God. You will not live with regret at the end. Even if you suffer some things in between, the end of the story will be good. Because you are serving the one who knows the end from the beginning. May that God be your God. May that God be your God. Now, in order that we might take a little time to pray, I'm going to remind us. God said, "You have my word. You have my word." Yesterday, God spoke to us the very early hours of the morning as the day was dawning. "Fear not. Be glad. Rejoice. For my God will do great things." And he said we should personalize it. "We do great things for me, with me, and in me." Fear not. Be glad. Rejoice. For this God I'm talking about, we do what? No, not just things. He will do what? Great things.
What is it that makes something great?
It is superlative. It's above the normal.
He will do great things. For who? For who? For me. I don't know about you. He will do great things for me. And in me. And with me.
Hallelujah.
You have my word. You have my word. Now, and the illustrator to us from the book of Judges, chapter 6. I'm not going to preach that sermon all over again. But I want to point out something. Any person who is going to benefit from the word of God must be selfless. Must be selfless. And that's going to be one of our prayer points. Anything that always wants to put me in the forefront, the whole world must rally around me. I don't care what happens to another person. It's a poison. It kills you. You can never be what God wants you to be when you are not selfless. If we paraphrase the experience of Gideon, everything was going wrong in the land. No jobs. Even the people who planted, before harvest time, people would come and harvest the thing. The little they even harvested, he was hiding somewhere to thresh the grain. That's how bad the economy is. That's how bad the social system was. And he began to question. But God gave us a word. God gave us a word. Where is that God that spoke this word that our fathers rehearsed to us? How they crossed the Red Sea. How they gave kings and all of those. And God drove away people from a prosperous land and we inhabited the land. Where is that God? And God said, oh, so you remember. So you remember. And God said, because this thought occurred to you, you are jealous for your God. You are the man I'm looking for. He was the last born in the family. His family was the least. It didn't matter what position he was. And I don't care whatever position you think you find yourself today. Your father didn't send you to school. Your mother didn't do this one. Your uncle didn't remember you. This one. If you remember God, and you remember the word of God, you will receive life. You will receive life. It doesn't matter. Maybe you have tried 200 times and failed, all by your own efforts. The day you call God into the circumstance and you remember what God has spoken and you lay hold on it, life begins. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The letter killeth. It is the spirit that quickens. It is the spirit that quickens. And Gideon said, ah! That was the beginning of his divine encounter. And from that point on, the story changed. A non-entity became a general. With a few men, he discomfited mighty armies and great generals and brought salvation to his people. The whole creation is waiting earnestly for the manifestation of those who believe the word of God. Will you be one of them? Will you be one of them? We have been waiting. This year, God will raise a lot of great people from nothing and use them to save us. Honestly. We'll be so astounded, but we'll be glad. Because when salvation comes, people rejoice. But he's going to raise them from people who have learned to hold on to him in spite of all odds. And that was the story of Gideon. He was busy. He was not an idle person. He was threshing, even though in a wine press. And he was inquirous. He was seeking the mind of God. And you shall search for me, you shall seek for me, and you shall find me when you search for me with what? All your heart. He was asking questions when other people were just lamenting and complaining and talking about bitterness and things like that. He didn't have time for that. He was saying, but there's something, there's something, there's something, there's something. He found it too. He found it. And brought salvation to his people. So he was busy. He sought God. He had an encounter with God. He held on to the word of God. When God said, go and attack an army with 300 men, his heart was shaking. But he said, God, if you are with me, I will go. If you are with me, just show me that you are with me. And when God proved to him that he was with him, he went on a suicide mission. He went on a suicide mission. But Jesus put it this way. He that seeks to save his life will lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake, he will not even lose his life. He will not only get back his life here, but he will also have a portion with me in eternity. Do we believe the word of God? Has God not already spoken? Why do we need to go from mountain to mountain, from prophet to prophet, thinking that God will change his mind to align with what we have in mind? No. We are very unstable people. God cannot depend on us like that. It is we who have to depend on him. That was the experience of Gideon. David was not an idle man either. He was busy taking care of the things that belonged to the whole family. He had elder brothers. He was from a well-to-do family. But the other children, their names were Anjola. You know what Anjola means? They like to, in Igbo, they call him Uriako. Anjola is Uriako. They like to enjoy the benefits of what is already there. And they were enjoying it. And they looked, they grew fat. They were enjoying it. But those were temporal pleasures. They were not taking care of the source of their wealth. Somebody, a tiny little boy, was risking his life fighting lions and bears to protect the heritage of the family. And God was watching. Nobody seemed to notice. When the day of blessing came, they didn't even remember him. I'm not telling you an unfamiliar story. I'm just using it to drive home a point. If your attitude is not to defend the interest of the general people, to bring glory to God, even at your own expense, you cannot be a useful vessel in the hand of God. You cannot. When you are so self-centered, so selfish about your things, you are thinking of how to use the system for your own benefit. God cannot depend on you for the greater things that are ahead. And so, even Samuel almost was misled. But you can never go contrary to the purpose of God. And God said to Samuel, you are looking at the outside. Me, I'm seeing the inside. The person who is supposed to get this anointing is not here now. And we are not going to sit down until he comes. And they were even asking the father, don't you have any other child? Well, there's one. No matter, the Bible says, your light will break forth out of obscurity. That's why I said, God said to us this year, there are some people God is going to pick out from seeming nowhere. And they will do great things that will be a succor to everyone. May you be the one. In the mighty name of Jesus. And so David was picked out of obscurity. He saved his people, risked his life several times. You can just take down this scripture, you can read it after, because you know the story. And then, but get the import of the message. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 11 to 13, was telling us that David was looking after the sheep, while his brothers were enjoying the benefit of looking after the sheep. Then in chapter 17, 28 to 32, he was still looking after the welfare of his brothers, even in the battlefront. He was not a soldier. He went to take care of his brothers in the battlefront, and he heard what was happening. I said, no, but this thing cannot continue like this. Do you hear the comment that the senior brother made? What are you doing here? You are supposed to be looking after the sheep. You are supposed to be working for us, so that when we come back, we will have food to eat when we come back. That was his assessment of David. Meanwhile, even the battle they went to fight, they could not stand up to fight. Because Goliath had intimidated them. And David was saying, how can you people be talking like this? Okay, me, I'm ready to go. They say, this boy, you have come again. An attitude. He was ready to risk his life for the benefit of the whole nation of Israel, for the glory of his God. Did he lose his life? Now you know that one. But some of us, that's the point where we turn back. And so the fruit doesn't come. You heard the word. But because of the challenges, because of the difficulties, because of the oppression from different sides, because of people who say you are a nonentity, you believe their report rather than the report of God, and you don't want to pull through to the very end, today, you will make up your mind that you will not look back. You will follow through with God, and the Goliath will fall before you. Ah, I know you will say amen when you hear that one. But hold on to the word of God. That's where you should say amen. Because if you don't hold on, the Goliath cannot fall. Was it only Goliath that fell? Kings and kingdoms fell on account of that one man who held on to the word of God. He was busy from the very beginning. His attitude was for the benefit of everyone round about him. He faced bears and lions. He faced Goliath and faced kingdoms for the glory of God and for the benefit of his brethren. Is it any wonder? But he was a human being. He made a lot of errors and things like that. God still called him a man after my heart. So don't think you are such a great champion that you cannot make errors. All of us, we are subject to errors. I tell you the truth. We are all subject to errors. It is the grace of God that sees us through. That's why we must learn to depend only on him. On the day when you fail, you can hold on to God and he will not let you go. He never leaves me alone. He never leaves me alone. It may be dark or wet or cool, but he never leaves me alone. He never leaves me alone. He never leaves me alone. It may be dark or wet or cool, but he never leaves me alone. When Satan rubs your nose on the ground and puts you inside the dungeon and throws you inside the lion's den and throws you into the fiery furnace, it is because there's a greater glory waiting to come out at the other end. Say hallelujah to that one. There's a greater glory because silver for the crucible, gold for the furnace. Don't count it strange when you go through diverse trials and temptations. For the trial of your faith worketh patience. It brings forth the excellency of God. When you think because everything is going well for you, that's an evidence that God is with you. You don't know God. After God had blessed Abraham with Isaac, he said, come and offer me this your son, whom you love. Thank you, Glory Voices, for that song. That song is a song we should sing many times during this year. Lay that thing again at the altar. Lay it at the altar. And even from the rema that God had given to us already. Go to that John chapter 12. All of us, shall we open our Bibles to John chapter 12? As I begin to round up so that we can begin to pray. There are miracles waiting to be plucked. Waiting to be plucked. May you not pass your own by. Everybody, please, John chapter 12. We'll read from verse 23 to verse 26. Perhaps after that we can just begin to pray. The rest God will speak to our hearts. Are we there? Please make sure you open your Bible. John chapter 12. I read from verse 24. From verse 24. Verily. Verily, in other words, truly, surely, with all assurance, without any iota of doubt, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die,
it abideth alone.
But if it dies,
it bringeth forth
how many fruit?
Much fruit.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Is that not what we are looking for? Honor. 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 And our pastor emphasized that one to us yesterday morning again. Now, if you want the honor that comes from the Father, you must be ready to lay yourself at the altar, which is what the Glory Voices was saying to us. Be a living sacrifice. Be ready to let go of it all for the Lord. There is nothing you give to the Lord, there's nothing you let go for the Lord that will not come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. And he will use men to give that to your bosom. If they refuse, he will send angels to come and do them. He will send ravens to come and feed you. He will make sure there's a brook by your side. But hold on to the word of God. David knew that one. He reminded us in Psalm 1. We are not going to read that one. When your delight is in the word of God, you will bring forth fruit in due season. And this year is a year of fruitfulness. As we hold on to the word of God. Your word is true. Your word is true. Your word is true. It shall come to pass. Your word is true. Your word is true. Your word is true. It shall come to pass. Finally, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 and 10. Emphasis, verse 10. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 and 10. I'll give you 10 more seconds so that we are all there. I don't have any word of my own. I'm just reading back the word of God to us and reminding us of what God has already spoken to us concerning 2022 and beyond, so that we are not ignorant of the mind of God towards us. Are we all there? 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 and 10. And thou, Joseph Uponi, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now. Take heed when? When? Take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. In other words, the Lord hath chosen you to bring forth, to bring fruit that will become the physical manifestation of the word that God has spoken. God spoke the word to David. He said, David, you are not the one going to be the but something is going to bring this word into physical manifestation. And you are the one who is chosen in this 2022 to bring the word of God to physical manifestation. Therefore, be strong and do it. What did God say? Be strong and do it.
complain. Just go ahead. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Is it an exam you want to write? Go ahead. Write the exam. Is it a business you want to start? Go ahead. Start the business. Is it a project you want to embark on? Go ahead. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. For faith without works is dead.
Let's bow our heads as we begin to pray. Maybe you have never received a revelation. Maybe God has never spoken to you as an individual. But it doesn't matter. God has spoken already concerning you because you are in this place now hearing this word of God. And I want us to begin by just expressing our faith in God. Just expressing our faith in God. Express your faith in God. Look past all the challenges, look past all the failures and say, God, you are saying to me I can start again. You are saying to me I can lay hold on your promises. You are saying to me I can look past the economy, look past all the rejection letters, look past all the failures at interviews and still come out to be a success. Lord, I believe your word. I believe your word. I want to be in this relationship with you that makes me to believe your report rather than any other report. And there's nothing wrong with saying, God, you have spoken to me. Make the vision very plain. Make it very clear to me. I don't want to look to the left or to the right again. I don't care what any other person wants to say. I'm laying hold on your word. God's word says to us, I have chosen you to be the one who is going to manifest, who will become fruitful with the word of God in this year. Your life will bear fruit that will bring glory to God. But it says, look past your selfishness. Look past your selfishness. Now confess every area of your selfishness. All those you are holding something against because they didn't help you. They didn't do this for you. I say, God, I'm sorry that I was looking up to them. Now I'm looking up to you, the author and finisher of my faith. Don't hold your father to ransom. Don't hold your mother to ransom. Don't hold your children to ransom. Say, after I've invested my whole life, now they are not taking care of me. No, no, no. The one whom you serve is saying to you, fear not. Be glad. Rejoice. He says, fear not. You are counting your failures? Who said you failed? When God has not said so. He's just asking you to come and humble yourself under his mighty hand. So that he will be the one who will exalt you in due time. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Say, I bow my heart before you this morning. Lord, only you will I serve. No other God. Thank you, King of Glory. Now, anyone who doesn't have a relationship with the Father, you have no portion in this. When they are rounding up, you will do well to answer the salvation call. But this word is for those who are already children of God. And that's the emphasis for today. You cannot be partaker of it if you don't have a covenant with God. Now, the next prayer point we are going to take. Those things that seem to choke out the word of God in your life. The realities that are facing you, that are making you to say, but you see now, see the way they insulted me. Look at the way, they don't even want to listen to me anymore. You know, what can I do? I don't have enough money. It's because I'm the smallest in the family. All those complaints, Jesus said, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. Now, you have come into your rest. Lay them at the altar. Make yourself a living sacrifice. the glory voices have said to us. Are you ready to offer yourself now? Are you ready to offer yourself and say, God, enough, come and take charge. Have your way. Have your way. Please pray. I've taken time to explain the word of God. Now it's time for you to talk back to God and make your own personal commitment to God. It's not a frivolous thing. It's true, the service is coming to an end. But it is the beginning. It is the beginning. Tomorrow we are beginning to fast, beginning to seek the face of God. But you have started already. God has gone ahead of you. Say to God, I lay them all at your feet. I lay them all at your feet. Third prayer point. You are already walking according to the word of God. But it is proving difficult. You still want to continue. But the pressure is much. The pressure is much. And alternatives are being offered that are contrary to what God has spoken to you. But God loves you so much. That's why it's reminding you this morning. Say to God, God, I've heard you. God, I've heard you. I will not give up now. 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 Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for helping me. Appreciate God for speaking to you this hour. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. No gymnastics about it. Just let your heart be pure before God. Because He is judging your motives for your prayers. We are praying now. He is reading your heart. That's what is more important. Don't mind whether another person is praying or not. Lastly, we are going to pray. You are following through. You are seeing the fruit. The fruit has not quite matured, but you know, you can see that. Even people are congratulating you. Ah, you have even tried. Even if you stop yourself, you have done well enough. But you know that's not where God asked you to stop. That's not where God asked you to stop. You are going to turn your eyes away from all those pleasurable distractions. Those ones that are already congratulating you when you have not arrived yet. And say, God, I'm looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I will not stop before my time. I will not rest until I see the glory of God manifested. I will not stop until I see many people born to the kingdom of God. Until I see the church of God prosper in my days. Ah, Lord, I will not rest. I will not rest until the day you decide to say it is time for you to enter into your rest. Pray this prayer because success is more difficult to manage than failure. Pray that in your success, you will not become wanton. Thank you, King of Glory. You said to us, you have given us your word. And we are grateful. We are grateful. Father, I've spoken as you have granted me utterance. Now, you know the expectations of your children. Every righteous expectation. Lord, make them into testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus. Every contrary expectations, open the eyes of our understanding to learn to depend upon you, that your ultimate glory might be revealed. Lord, from the very beginning you spoke to Peter, you are a good fisherman, but I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And you did a miracle for him that day, he caught plenty of fishes. But soon he forgot about the fishes that he caught. And when you were not there, he was already a guy of all the people. But he couldn't bear the load. And he went back fishing. Lord, none of us will draw back. We will not go back to our vomit. But Lord, we will stay in the place to which you have called us. And we will depend upon you to show forth your glory. Lord, those whom you have said you are lifting from the dunghill, you are taking them to make them an example this year. Lord, Father, strengthen their hands. Uphold them with the right hand of your righteousness. Cause that, Lord, their eyes will not depart from you. And Lord, when they have made it, they will not fall by the wayside. Lord, thank you for choosing to glorify yourself this year in the midst of your people. Ah, Lord, peace upon our land. Thank you, thank you. With each passing week and month, our ears shall be hearing the testimonies of the great and awesome things that you are doing this year. That by this time next year when we shall gather,
Lord, there will not be room enough for the people who are testifying of your goodness. We return all the glory and honor to you. You are blessed of the Lord. Lay your life at the altar. Make yourself a living sacrifice. Become an instrument in the hand of your God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. May the light of the countenance of our God shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. And the Lord grant you his peace.